What do first marathons and extramarital affairs have in common? They often happen the year before a milestone birthday. This hour, milestones, life changes, and fresh starts. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The new year, birthdays, and anniversaries often serve as a time to reflect on our lives. The approach of a milestone, turning 30, 40, 50, 60, for example, can throw us into a crisis or serve as a kick in the pants to try something new or get something done. This hour, I'll talk with a researcher, a therapist, and a marathoner about this phenomenon, but we also want to hear your stories. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. A few months ago, I came across an article about how the year before starting a new age decade, so 29, 39, 49, prompts unexpected searches for meaning. And that's why first marathons and extramarital affairs are common in those years. This article caught my attention because it appeared about a month after I ran my first half marathon and a couple of months before I turned 40. This hour, I will talk with a researcher, a therapist, and a marathoner about this phenomenon, but we also want to hear your stories. Has a milestone birthday or anniversary prompted you to make a big life change or to do something out of the ordinary? Tell us about it. You can call 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can post on our Facebook page. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Denny Henrich is on the line now. He lives in Des Moines. Hello, Denny.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And you ran your first marathon when you were 49 years old. What prompted that?
Maybe it was a middle-age crisis. I'm not sure. The guy that I run with, we kind of decided if we were going to run one, at that time we thought the body started shutting down at 50. So we thought we better get it in before we got 50. But we thought we 49 come around and we ran the dam to dam. So we thought, well, we better get training. So it just carried on after that.
So when you were 49 years old, you thought that the body would start shutting down at 50?
Thank goodness it hasn't, but yeah, that's what I was thinking as far as joints and stuff. So we thought we better get it done.
So had you done anything that extreme before that in your life?
As far as running, the most I did was half marathons and did dam to dam for a few years. So not that far, no.
How did the training go?
It's tough in Iowa through the summer because we ran the Des Moines Marathon, and it's in October, so you got to go through the summer to train. And Des Moines does have a lot of good trails, but it also gets hot even in the mornings. That's kind of the funny story is that we ended up having to run some of our longer runs on treadmills. So
to take advantage of the air conditioning?
Yeah, and
so when you say longer runs, what's the farthest you ran on a treadmill?
21 miles. Yeah, I know it. We took a half day off, and we did it here at our company's wellness center. And so we had the intern give us our water bottles as needed and some gel packs. So and watch TV. It was...
Wow, that's covered under duties as assigned, I guess.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to do 21 miles on a treadmill?
Right about 4 hours. They always say to train a lot slower than what you plan on running, but yeah, we just wanted to get done, so we went nonstop for 4 hours, and it was interesting. You get off and you about fall over because your muscles are wanting to keep going, but yeah, it's an experience.
How did the marathon go?
It was about the same way. I didn't quite get as far as I wanted to before stopping, but normally you don't tell people you stop, so I'm not telling you that I did.
Okay.
I'm not saying I didn't. But...
Well, I won't ask any more questions about that, but how did it feel after you got done? I mean, this is a big goal, and that's a long way.
Yeah, that with all the training, and I had a pretty good support group. I had a friend that ran with me, and he's done them before, and he said he'd since he knew it was my first one, he would run my pace and even train at my pace. And so I had him throughout the race. And then we had family members that were supported the whole time of training, too. My wife was great. She pretty much knew I was shot for the mornings that we did these long runs because I wouldn't be able to do anything around the house. But the race itself was it was a warm day, so it was we started a little faster than what we wanted. But anyway, we got going, and every 5 miles we had either this friend of mine's wife or my wife would meet us every 5 miles and give us our gel packs and water. And then I had the daughter run the last quarter mile with me to get me to the finish.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's a great experience. You get across that finish line and you think, wow, that's worth the training. It's worth it to do once.
So after the marathon, do you think that made the actual birthday, turning 50, a little bit easier for you?
I hadn't thought of that, but I think, yeah, I think for sure. I 50 was just another day.
But, do you think about it very often, that accomplishment?
All the time. It's we always have, yeah, I think my wife probably gets tired of me bringing it up, but it's some big accomplishment and you're proud of it, even if you don't get the time you want or anything, but that doesn't matter. You've done it, and not everybody can say that. So
was that your only marathon, or did it make you want to do another?
No, that was my only one, and it won't happen again. But
how old are you now, Denny, if that's not too personal?
58. So
58. Well, so you're approaching another big one.
Well, I know it. I don't know what I'll do this time.
All right.
Well, a marathon.
Call us back and let us know, okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Denny, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Denny Henrich ran his first and only marathon at the age of 49. This hour, we're talking about milestones, life changes, and fresh starts. And with me now is Henshin Dai. She has researched these kinds of milestones. She's a doctoral student at the University of Pennsylvania Wharton. Hello, Henshin.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, what prompted you to study these kinds of milestones?
That's an interesting question. So I started my research 2.5 years ago when I noticed that people make New Year's resolutions very frequently. But it occurred to me that there hasn't been much research done on what will be the other moments when people naturally experience a sense of increased motivation to improve themselves.
All right, so we talk a lot about January 1st and New Year's resolutions, but clearly we hit a lot of these other moments in our lives too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So it's not just New Year's. It is about the start of many cycles. So for my personal experiences, I like making resolutions at the beginning of Chinese New Year, my birthday, my wedding anniversary. So I reflect on my own behaviors, and also because experience my advisor had when she was talking to people at a corporate, they asked her, when should we encourage our employees to do good behaviors? It doesn't seem like we know a lot about this. And so she comes back and we talk, and we realize, this is an open area, and it doesn't seem like we have known much about how the starting points of new cycles in our lives may affect our motivation. So that's how this project initially started.
Interesting. And I've mentioned those big birthdays when you turn 40, mm-hmm. when you turn 30, when you turn 50, 60, 70. In this country, that is a really big deal. That's something that, that we seem to put a lot of emphasis in. But you've also looked at this cross-culturally. In other countries, there are other milestones that seem to bring people to these points, right?
Yeah. So first I want to say that I think the underlying motivation and the psychological process is the same across cultures. It is the sense that people feel separated from the past failures, and now they feel empowered to strive for the better self. But there are differences in terms of when the fresh start moments may arise for different cultures. For example, in China, the the year when the year that corresponds to the beginning of a new Chinese zodiac cycle, the 12-year cycle that corresponds to like 12 different animals.
All right, so year of the dog, year of the snake, yeah, that kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah, like for me, I was born in the year of dragon. So whenever it was my like 12th, 21st or 36th birthday, which hasn't come yet. those birthdays correspond to the beginning of a new cycle for Chinese people, and they are more meaningful and more significant and more likely to separate us from our past selves, increasing our motivation to perform better and improve ourselves.
Now, we've talked about these New Year's resolutions or, you know, depending on what culture you live in, whenever you take this time to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
But do we tend to, from your research, have more motivation, have more of an ability to actually follow through on a resolution when it coincides with one of these big life-changing moments or big milestone moments?
Mm-hmm. So I do, in my research, I have looked at people's actual behaviors. So it's not just your motivation, but I've also looked at, for example, whether students are more likely to actually go to the gym after those after the beginning of a new cycle. For example, I find students are more likely to go to the gym at the beginning of new year, at the beginning of new week even, and the beginning of new month, a new semester. And also there is evidence that students exercise more frequently after their birthdays. But there is a very interesting finding that is there is an exception for the 21st birthday for the reasons which you may or may not find
right.
surprising.
Yeah, that one actually doesn't surprise me that much. So you've looked at exercise. Have you looked at other kinds of resolutions, other mm-hmm. kinds of changes people try to make?
Yeah. So I have also looked at people's Google searches for the term diet online. So I look at how many people are searching for the term diet on a given day, and I see the same pattern. People are more interested in dieting at the beginning of the year, the month, the week, and right after holidays, particularly holidays that feel more like a fresh start to people. I've also looked at people's interest in setting up a commitment contract. So there is a website called SIG.com, which I highly recommend, where you can set up a personal goal and indicate how much money you would forego if you fail to achieve your personal goal. And I look at when people are most likely to create this personal commitment contract. And not surprisingly, people are more likely to create a commitment contract at the beginning of the week, the month, the year, after holidays, and after their birthdays.
Oh, interesting. So it's a way of raising the stakes when they make a resolution.
Yes.
If they put money on the line, then they're more likely to follow through.
Yes, definitely.
Interesting. And there seem to be a lot of different kinds of fresh starts that people participate in. We'll talk more about those throughout the hour. Henshin, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Henshin Dai is a doctoral student at the University of Pennsylvania, Wharton. We will continue this conversation in a moment. We have a number of people on the line with stories to share. We'll get to the phones in a moment. And we want to hear from you. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talks and email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about milestones, life changes, midlife crises as well, if you want to talk about that. You are welcome to join our conversation with your stories at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me now is Armita Wojcik. She's assistant professor in the Couple and Family Therapy Program at the University of Iowa. Hello, Armita.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today. And we'll talk throughout the hour about coaching people through some major life changes. But in your work, you haven't necessarily found that these big birthdays prompt that much
right.
of a change.
Right. Well, typically, a lot of the people that I will end up seeing are people who are facing more challenges, right, and problems and things like that. Whereas these are things that are really exciting, or they get to kind of make these, set these life goals for themselves and really want to reach that. Although it doesn't mean that in the work that I do that a lot of times people aren't really making significant changes and making those steps to get there.
Right. But sometimes they're responding to things that are happening to them as opposed to taking a moment to make something happen.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. A lot of times it's either reactionary or if there's normative developments within families that are happening or in couples. So we have a lot of things that are going on, but it's not necessarily just these really great goals that people set.
Well, I'm going to get your take on coaching somebody through a major life change. But first, there are a number of people who want to share their story. So let's get to the phones. Alan is on the line in Fairfield. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Charity. How are you doing? I've always admired your name. Charity is one of the principal virtues, of course.
Right. Well, I'll pass that along to my mother. And Alan, you just had a birthday?
What?
You just had a birthday?
Yeah. It's top secret. It's one of the early days in January, and my mother was terrified that she was going to be featured in the newspaper as having the first baby of the year. And of course, that's how my mother dealt with a lot of life issues. So I had to learn transcendental meditation in order to get over the programming of fear that my mother had quite involuntarily. She was a saint of a woman, but she responded with fear to a lot of things, including breastfeeding. And so I weaned myself early because I didn't like dealing with the fear.
Okay. So this birthday has brought some big changes for you.
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly that the birthday brought the changes, but the changes, I've been working and working and working, and now that the birthday is passed, it's like, oh, I'm getting all kinds of support. So it's like,
interesting.
Like
so what? Yeah. This was your 70th birthday. What
Correct.
Kind of changes?
Anyway, everyone says that they don't believe I'm 70. They think I'm somewhere in my 50s.
Well, that's good, I'm sure. And you're going through a career change?
You bet. My career change is going from no career to a possible huge career. And let me be explicit on that a little bit. Did you know that there is alleged to be a shortage of groundwater in many places, including California and even Iowa, you know, depending on, you know, where you're talking about? There is no such thing as a shortage of water because there is another source that is being ignored by hydrologists. Anyway, this is not a fantasy. You can
okay. Well,
you can read about it at primarywater.com.
Okay. Alan, well, best of luck with your new endeavors. Thank you so much for calling today. And let's go to Anne in Des Moines. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
And we were talking about running that first marathon a little while ago. You did that because of one of these milestones.
I did when I turned, well, actually, I'm 51 now, but when I turned 40, it took me, it was probably till I was 41 by the time I finally got around to running the marathon. But I thought I better do it before I get too old. So.
And was there something about that 40th birthday that made you think, I really want to, I really need to do this?
I think it really came as a surprise to me. I just didn't feel 40, but I thought I better. It's something that I always wanted to do, and I had a lot of children. I had had my last baby when I was 38, and just was on my list. So it required me to be assertive with my time and ask help from other people. And it was a great experience, but I think it was just a physical challenge. And I think as you turn, I turned 50, now I'm 51, you start to think more in terms of health oriented and mindfulness and how you're spending your time. I think that enters your brain a little bit more, and that's been interesting to explore.
Yeah, and running a marathon when you had a three-year-old at home, you must have really been great at time management. That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, I needed a lot of help from my husband, and he stepped up and watched the kids. I have four daughters, so.
Wow.
Yeah, he was very helpful, but I had to assert myself a little bit because I had never really done that. And but I'm glad I did it, and I went on and did another marathon. And then I thought, well, that's done. I don't need to do that anymore.
So. Did it make you feel better about being in your 40s?
Yeah, it did. I just felt great in my 40s. I feel great at the age I am right now. I just think it's a number. I really do. But I do think that your mind works in different ways as you think about, you do look retrospectively back on your life. And then as you look forward, you know, that you don't have as much time probably. And so I love being older. I really feel like I'm using my time more wisely.
Well, great. Anne, thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Thank you. Bye.
You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. Kelly is on the line next in Mount Vernon. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Actually, the first name is Netta.
Okay.
My story is I'm 72 years old, and I made goals for each of my major birthdays. When I was 60, I kayaked in Alaska. 65, I drove the Alcan with my daughter and her partner. Age 70, I went back to where I was born, which is the country of Norway, with my family, and celebrated my 70th birthday there. And I'm working on 75 right now. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but the upside is having these goals, I pay attention to my health and my finances. I'm not wealthy, but I'm very healthy. So I think as I grow older, it's great to have these goals, being realistic that maybe I won't be able to do it, but I think it's very beneficial.
And you've certainly done some amazing things because you've set these goals. Was there something that prompted you to set that first goal when you were turning 60?
Well, I happened to be in Alaska, working there at the time, and there was an opportunity to kayak to a little island for the Midsummer Festival, and I thought, why not? It was probably not the wisest thing I've ever done, but I survived, and that kind of prompted me to think, I wonder what I can do next.
Well, that's terrific. Kelly, thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
You're welcome.
866-780-9100. I'm with Armita Wojcik. She's assistant professor in the Couple and Family Therapy Program. She's a therapist at the University of Iowa. And Armita, when somebody comes to you, you know, a lot of us set resolutions every year on maybe on our birthdays, maybe on New Year's Day. Follow through can be pretty weak for a lot of those different kinds of resolutions. Now, obviously, when somebody comes to you and they want to make a change in their lives, they're getting very serious about it, or they wouldn't be coming to somebody and asking for help.
Right.
But how do you help somebody get started?
A lot of times it's seeing what are the changes that they do want to make and identifying if there's a problem, there's a barrier that's in place from getting them to make those changes. And a lot of times what I like to do, too, is to help people to see, well, when you've had a problem to make this change or, you know, there has to have been some time in your life when you have successfully made these changes. And so really looking through their past to see what are these strengths or these tools that they've had and that they've used that have gotten them to where they wanted to. And so to see how we can then use that now in the present moment with the present goal that they have.
I think a lot of us get discouraged if there's something that we'd really like to do and we've tried and failed repeatedly. And of course, weight loss is one of those topics that comes to mind immediately because a lot of people set those goals maybe a couple of times a year. And they're really, really hard to accomplish those goals. If somebody has tried and failed repeatedly in the past, does it make it harder to make a change in the future?
I'm an optimist, so I'll always say, you know, that there's always ways to make the change. It doesn't mean that it doesn't necessarily make it harder. Sometimes we could get stuck in this kind of negative self-talk, like, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to do that again. And so that's a place where, as a therapist, something that I would do to help them is to kind of say, like, well, okay, that hasn't worked necessarily in the past. You've had these times. But let's see how you tried to make those changes. What are little things that we can do to make things different? So if it's weight loss, then it would be something about, well, what's in the structure of your home, your life, and things like that. So ways to either change eating habits or exercise or put different structures into place and really kind of thinking through and making a plan. And a lot like the previous caller said about these steps and realistic goals and really thinking through it. And a lot of times it's having either an outside perspective or just somebody else to kind of help to think through something does help someone to make some of the changes, even if maybe in the past they haven't been as successful.
Let's go back to the phones, 866-780-9100. Mason is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Mason.
Hey, how's it going, Charity?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
Oh, I just wanted to talk about what I joke about with my friends is quarter-life crisis.
So 25 years, okay.
Yeah, 25 years. That's kind of a big milestone for a lot of people our age. For instance, you know, I didn't know what I was doing with my life at the time. My wife also just graduated college, getting into education. wanted to get her master's, but also was pressuring me to have a child. So at the time, I wasn't sure if I accomplished the goals I wanted to do, and also, you know, have a stable living stance for bringing a child into this world. So that's when I really thought about, if I have a child, what goals and what do I want to show them, what they should expect and out of themselves. So I went out and tried to accomplish things, and I started small, you know, just reaching out, trying to different people, and, you know, getting on Iowa Public Radio may not sound like a big deal, but if you try to do something simple like that, you know, you'll get on, just like calling a phone number and just, getting used to failure, the rejection. I started interviewing bands, sending out emails to record companies and publicists, and to my surprise, they thought I knew what I was doing, and they trusted me. And since then, now I'm working on a documentary series about the pedal steel guitar, and got a lot of support, and people reach out to me. And now, you know, life coaching is a big thing these days. And whether or not I'll get into that, you know, I look at people who do that. And there's lots of people in Iowa who do life coaching. But I think, like I said, quarter-life crisis is something that, you know, I can laugh about. But at the time, it was a really depressing thing. And I'm glad I made it through.
All right. And how old are you now, Mason?
I'm 28 years old.
All right. Well, Mason, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. And I think that Mason brings up something that is really significant for a lot of people. And that is this fear of failure or this fear of rejection. And I don't know, for me, it's been something that I've been able to let go of as I get older, because I realize that mostly it's in my head and age seems to put a lot of things in perspective. But I'm guessing that a lot of people that come to you have that fear of failure, that fear of people saying no or not taking themselves serious or taking them seriously.
Oh, yeah. A lot of times we could be our own worst enemies, and we can play out all these scenarios in our heads. And before we even take that chance, take that step, as Mason said, you know, making that call to, you know, that's one way to do it. And so it is about, how is it that we're thinking about things? What is it that we do so that we can allow ourselves to make those little steps, those little reach those little goals to get to the ultimate bigger goal that we want to achieve?
How do you put the idea of having somebody say no to you in perspective?
I think that's something that you have to decide for yourself. If this is that one person that says no, is that the end of the line? You know, is it something that you can still find this place to where you value? Because a lot of it is that meaning, right? So if you're afraid of failure, but you truly believe in what you are doing or what you want to go after, that if you believe that that's there, if one person says no, then okay, you can move past and go to the other one. And so there has to be some type of confidence and this competence that that person feels. And so one thing that I've noticed that everybody has pretty much talked about is that support, right? And so it's if one person says no, you still believe in it and you can still have this supportive system behind you or people that will help you get through it, those are the things that are going to help no matter what. Even that self-talk, that failure, or afraid of that, or somebody says no, you can still move past that.
I think Mason brought up something else interesting that is a theme that I'm hearing a lot about with different responses from listeners today. He talked about the desire to have kids by a certain age. This is from Amy. She says, when I turned 40, I decided I didn't want to regret not trying to have kids at 50. So I went about the process of getting pregnant on my own. Best decision I have ever made. This is from Eve. I had a baby at 40. I'm still tired. Maybe I'll do a half marathon at 45 when I'm caught up on sleep. This is from Steph on Facebook. She says, I just turned 30. As I was growing up, I always admired young and growing families. So I kind of had a positive spin on 30 as my family grows too. It's just a little busier than I imagined. But that seems to be something that really is significant. Oh, here's another one. Justin tweets, I wanted to have kids by 30 due to a fear of being a grandpa dad. I wanted to be able to play with them and keep up, etc. Justin, you do have a little more time for that than you think. But that seems to be something. There are those not not necessarily changing something about ourselves, but those life milestones, mm-hmm. those life accomplishments that a lot of us feel the need to think about at those times.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And those are very common. So throughout, like, they have the life course and the family life course. And part of it is when to have a family or start a family. And then also when you launch your child, and what does that mean for you then as an adult? And so there's all of these very normative experiences that we can have. But that doesn't mean that they're not necessarily challenging in some way, or that, having a kid, it's like, okay, now we have this new little being here and we are sleep deprived, and yet we still have this relationship we have to work on. And, you know, so there's still going to be lots of little challenges, but these are major life milestones that people do want to get. And there are, just throughout our lives, we think, okay, you know, 25, let's start family, or 40, I don't want to be a grandpa dad. Those are all really important things that we have in our head about what the normal kind of trajectory of family lives are. But it doesn't mean that we're, you know, there's these definitely normative things that we're all going through.
Right. So. And although it happens to everybody, it's certainly significant when it happens to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it doesn't mean that there's not little hiccups throughout that way, but right. It is something. It's just a matter of like, okay, here, put it in perspective and see. Yeah, you know, a lot of people are going through this. How are we going through it, though?
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Armita Wojcik is here with me. She's assistant professor in the Couple and Family Therapy Program at the University of Iowa. She's a therapist, and you are welcome to join our conversation as well. We're talking about milestones and life changes, fresh starts today. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about milestones and how they cause us to reflect. Sometimes they can throw us into crisis. Sometimes they can prompt us to do something amazing. So share your story with us today. Did your 30th, 40th, 50th, 60th birthday, your 25th wedding anniversary, or your 50th wedding anniversary prompt you to do something remarkable? Share your story, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And another trend that I'm noticing in some of the responses that I've got are academic goals. This one's from Karen, finishing my dissertation at 40. This one's from Steve. Like Karen, I finished my dissertation shortly before 40 and graduated shortly after. Then he has a funny story. At the celebration party thrown by my family, I managed to lock myself in a closet. So 40's not always smooth sailing. This one's from Marianne. She says, I finished my PhD a week after my 39th birthday. I was a single working mom with two kids, and we all celebrated. So with some of the long-term goals that we have, I mean, running a marathon may be something that you can train for and accomplish mm-hmm. in a year, but when people are talking about their master's degrees or their PhDs, that's something they've been working on for a very long time. Mm-hmm. You think these milestones maybe prompt somebody to get something done that's been a goal for mm-hmm. for a decade?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of times when you have these types of milestones or birthdays or something to let you be reflective, you think back and over your life and your goals and say, you know, are you where you want to be? Are you there? If great, then you keep on that track. But if not, if there's that dissonance of where you want to be, then you come up with a way and a plan to reach those goals. If it's academic goals or whatever, it's those things to get you to where you want to be.
Let's go to the phones. Grace is on the line in Des Moines. Hello, Grace.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Yes,
what would you
I've
like?
I've never done this before.
Oh, well, it's not too hard. What would you like to talk about?
Well, this isn't really about a milestone per se. I think this is more about when things happen in a person's life. I've had things happen in my life where I have had a plan that I was going to go in a particular direction. And then it seems that the universe conspires to close the door. And I think that there needs to be a balance between a self-will of thinking about what I think that I am good at and what I need to offer to the world, and the idea that sometimes the universe conspires to put you where it wants you and needs you. And I think we have to listen to that. And I feel like in my life I've had opportunities where – I could have forced the issue, but in the end, I rejoiced because I didn't. I listened to what was in front of me.
Interesting take on that, Grace. And I think a lot of us deal with, you know, changing circumstances in our life. It sounds like Grace has been able to embrace hers. But I'm sure a lot of people who come into your office have had major life changes that were outside their control.
Definitely. I've worked with a lot of families and individuals who have had what seems like everybody who it can be conspiring against them in a lot of ways. And it can be very disheartening. And it is, you know, I think what Grace is representing there is this way to be reflective about it and to think, well, is this really something that would be best for me? You know, I may have these intentions, but that's not what seems to be playing out. And then reevaluating whether or not that works. And I think she was able to make meaning of that. And that's the biggest thing is whenever things do seem to be kind of compounding or piling up and it doesn't seem to be working, whether or not it is something that you can say, okay, well, this isn't right for me right now. What can I do differently? And so that you don't let it necessarily get you down, but instead you let it be, okay, well, then there's maybe another opportunity, right? And so this other pathway that you can go down to. But a lot of it is that meaning-making part. And what does that mean if this is conspiring against you or not?
It seems to me that the ability to adjust to these changing life circumstances is obviously a very important thing. But I wonder if, again, some of these milestones make that harder for people. You know, let's say someone is getting a divorce that's mm-hmm. not in their life plan. And then I'm turning 40.
Right.
I'm sure that can mm-hmm. compound the frustration.
Oh, definitely. It could be devastating in a lot of ways because then it's like, well, this isn't where I thought I'd be. I thought I was on this right track. And then now everything has changed. And so now what do you do? And so, you know, that it causes this like reevaluation of everything at that point. And so everything feels like, you know, I've lost this. It's kind of that loss of the dreams and what you thought it was going to be. And so that can be a real core shaker. And that's where it would be a lot of that taking those steps back and again, thinking about, well, what is it that I want to be? What learning from whatever that might be. If it was a divorce, you know, like, well, is there a part I played in that? You know, how did we work together to maybe not necessarily let this be the marriage that we wanted it to be? And then thinking, well, now this is, again, for the fresh starts, like this is another opportunity for me to learn, right? And so that's kind of switching that frame of reference and thinking about it and saying, well, you know, unfortunately, that did end. Let me see what I can learn from that and so that I can move forward.
It seems like some of these milestones often also prompt people to get off that track that they've been on. This is a comment that I have from Kim. She says, I put my 40-year-old dream trip dog mushing in Alaska on hold to divorce the man I loved. Our marriage was unhealthy, so I chose to raise my son in a healthier, happier situation, even if it made me a single mom. So far, so good, she says. But I think that that's it's also a time when people reflect and say, wait, maybe the plan that I made for myself isn't the plan that I want to keep following. Grace, thank you so much for your call. And Judy's on the line next from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Hi. What's your story?
My husband gifted us with a 25th wedding anniversary trip to Bali, and we had never been outside of the United States. So it was exciting and adventurous and thrilling after 25 years of marriage.
Oh, that's wonderful. And did taking that big trip change your perspective?
It did. It showed me that the world is big and exciting, and if you just put your mind to something, sometimes it can happen much better than you had ever dreamed.
Oh, Judy, that's so great to hear. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Do you find that with people you work with, sometimes when they do something that maybe they were afraid to do or have an adventure, that sometimes that does shake up their worldview a little bit?
Yeah, because, I mean, if you've been so kind of thinking like, oh, yep, this is something that I can't do, or, you know, you have this fear about something, and then you go through and it's okay, and you had fun, or it was just like good experience, or where you grew, or you got through it, then it is. It's like, oh, But I always use that as a place to be this confidence builder, to be like, look, this is where you had this fear and you got past that. And now look at this experience. So it's a way to kind of still in the future when they have that fear kind of coming up or kind of like racing its little head, that they can say, no, I got this. Remember last time I did this? I did pretty good and I enjoyed it too. You know, so it's just a way to kind of change that perspective.
I have another trend that I'm starting to see here. This is from Molly. She says, when I turned 40, I got a tattoo. And this is a tweet from Lindsay. I had a quarter life crisis and got a tattoo. Best crisis ever. So do you see a trend of people marking moments in their lives in sometimes maybe a smaller way like that? Hmm. You have to look for it.
Right. Huh? Yeah. I think if I were to think in my general life, yes, I would definitely see that. But I think from the therapy part, it's usually, you know, when they have made these, they've made these accomplishments, then it's like, well, let's do something to celebrate and just do something like that. But yeah, it's definitely a little bit different, but still marking. That's the important thing, right?
Right.
Is seeing that.
To
that
mark
change.
The moment. Mm-hmm. 866-780-9100 is the number to call to join our conversation. How have you marked a milestone? What changes have you made? What new fresh starts have you taken? Give us a call, 866-780-9100. This one's from Valerie. She says, I woke up on my 40th birthday and realized my life was probably half over. I then woke up on a more existential basis. I started traveling. I started taking classes. I started spending more time on my spiritual life. I started making hard decisions about what was really important in my life and what was fluff. Then this one is from Thea. She says, I decided to become a certified yoga instructor before I turned 70 last year. Did it. That's great. Mary is on the line next in Cedar Falls. Hello, Mary.
Hi. I love your show. I was a little surprised that you didn't include the octogenarians. I have had that birthday this week.
Well, happy birthday. 80 is quite an accomplishment in and of itself.
Well, along the way, I have had a goal for this decade and that decade. But now I'm thinking, okay, what now? Energy and finances change, and a lot of things happened in the 70s that changed my lifestyle. And so I am struggling with where do I go now?
Oh.
What do I do in my life, and how much time do I have? I have gotten over that hump, but how to spend the rest of my years is still an issue.
Mary, that's such an interesting challenge.
Right.
Armita, do you have anything that you can share with Mary? I suppose after accomplishing major goals, there can be a kind of emptiness and a kind of question: what do I do next?
Right, and that's. That's something that I think a lot of people, whenever you are reflecting back over your life and seeing kind of what you've done, especially whenever you have, you know, you said you've set decade goals, and because now thinking back and thinking of all these changes, it's a lot about just a lot of times I've known that it's about the relationships that you have and kind of really making those, you know, meaningful, spending the time and really just. I don't know. It is. It's a different time and a different experience whenever you are reflecting back over everything and you've kind of gone and reached all of those goals. It's kind of like, well, now what? You know, so that space that you're talking about, I mean, it's totally understandable.
So if Mary came into your office and you talked about that, how would you help her get started as sort of trying to find her priorities and the things that she can start setting goals for at this point in her life?
Yeah. I think I would talk with Mary a lot about, you know, what are the things that, if there is anything still left, you know, whatever that is, given finances, given energy levels and things like that, what are still some things that we could come up with a plan? And, you know, if it's something that is, would potentially be more challenging, then we would sit together and say, well, how can we make these things more realistic? If it's, you know, going on another trip and it's finances that the problem said, well, how can we, maybe it's not this year, but maybe it's in a couple of years, or, you know, kind of really sitting down and saying, well, whatever those goals are, how can we then still make them manageable and realistic within that time?
Mary, yeah. It sounds like you have a lot going for you. I'm sure you will find a few things.
I hope so. I like the idea of a trip.
Yeah.
I would have to plan for that.
All right, Mary, thank you so much and happy birthday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Next up, Cynthia is on the line in Pella. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story?
Well, my first goal was actually to just get out of Iowa. When you're a dance major, you're told you're not very likely to get a job, especially when you're from the Midwest. And so when I was 27, I went to Las Vegas, and I got offered two jobs. And so I moved from Iowa City to Las Vegas, and then I thought, wow, okay, I've done it all. That's the biggest thing. And then, of course, while you're there, you hear about all these other things and these other shows. And then, but at 30, I went, oh my goodness, I need to go back home, go to Iowa and have babies. And, you know, I actually met someone who says, you know, you're a female, you're from the Midwest, you're almost cursed by society saying that this is what you have to do. And I just, I came home and I knew that I couldn't stop. I had to accomplish a couple more things. And at 30, I got a job in Paris, and I went.
Wow.
And it, you know, and that's something I tell my students, keep reaching. Don't set these goals of by 25, I have to have this, and 30, I have to have this. It's, you know, if you know you have to do it, you have to do it.
No regrets.
No regrets. No regrets.
Cynthia, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Next up, we've got Kathy on the line in Mingo. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
Hi. What's your story?
Well, I wanted to share how my mother set such an amazing example for me of not just aging, but the milestone birthdays. It was a real gift to me that she gave me at a young age. She was so busy raising seven children, and on the morning of her birthday, it was a beautiful May morning, I walked downstairs and I saw outside in the backyard, she was sitting on the patio under a tree and she was sipping coffee. And it was so rare that I ever saw her sit still or do something relaxing. And I asked her what she was doing, and she explained that she was turning 40 and she wanted to enjoy it. And I'll just never forget that. And since then, I've just, you know, I'm 52 now, and I just adore birthdays, and I've embraced every single one.
Oh, Kathy, that's so wonderful. Thank you for sharing that today.
You're welcome.
Linda is on the line in Rockwell City. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, not everybody reaches some of those later goals with good health, and I'm one of those people.
I'm sorry.
I retired at 59. Due to health reasons, and did not like turning 60. I did not think I was old. I didn't mind being older, but I didn't want to be classified as old. And I decided I had to set some goals that I could reach. And so I have made a New Year's resolution, about 3 years ago, and I'm still doing it. Before I get out of bed in the morning, I set a goal. Some little thing that I can want to get done that day, maybe empty the waste baskets or something. And I then said, okay, if I don't get the goal done, then what? Well, I decided my goals are not going to accumulate. They're just good for that one day. And if I really need to, I can have my goal just being getting to the kitchen and eating breakfast. So then I turned 70. In 2014, and I found it so liberating because now I'm old, and it's okay. And if I can't remember somebody's name, hey, I'm old. So that's kind of the way I look at it. I have chronic fatigue, and you know, so I think I can do things. I just don't have the energy to do them anymore.
Well, Linda, I'm so sorry you've had to struggle with that. It sounds like you have a really terrific attitude about it. And we are out of time for today. Armita, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Armita Wojcik is assistant professor in the Couple and Family Therapy Program at the University of Iowa. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us today. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.